we hear so often an excuse that so many people use when someone finds themselves involved in iniquity, finds themselves involved in corruption, find themselves involved in things that go against the holy will of God. You hear people say such things as, well, he or she was just trying to find their way. Have you ever heard that expression? He's just trying to find his way, or she's just trying to find the way. I want to share with you today that Jesus is the way. Say that with me today. Jesus is the way. We need to know today that popularity, even though that may be good and it may be a little bit favorable to you in whatever situation you're in, I want you to know today, and God wants us to know today, that popularity is not the way. Maybe it's a huge checking account, or maybe a huge savings account. Maybe you think that's the most important thing in all of the world, but I'm telling you today that a huge checking account, and a huge savings account, the nicest car, the biggest house, guess what? That still is not the way. Illegal or recreational drugs is not the way. There are people today trying to find their way, air quotes, trying to find their way unto happiness. And they're using things, illegal things, temporary things, things that the world itself would endorse. I can tell you today that illegal and recreational drugs is not the way. Some people may even think that a higher education, maybe someone that gets a master's or a doctorate, et cetera, et cetera, oh, they are really finding their way. Nothing wrong with that. Don't walk out here saying that I was criticizing folks with higher education. But I'm explaining to you and I'm advising you today that that is not the way. That doesn't get you, seriously speaking, that doesn't get you into heaven. Do you understand that? So all of these things that we're talking about so far is not the way. Facebook is not the way. There's a lot of people today that when difficulties hit and problems arise and there's division even in families, you know what? Very seldom are we really getting on the phone and calling our brothers and sisters in Christ and saying, hey, I need your encouragement. I need your help. I need this. And what can I do to help you? It seems like we're putting everything on Facebook, and that's okay because that's a social media today. But we should be petitioning the prayers of everybody that we can. Do you agree with that? Facebook's not the way. The Bible is the way. The world of electronics today, that is not the way. The Bible is the way. Yes or no? All right. Alcohol, the abuse of alcohol that so many people are involved in, it is not the way. Sexual relationships out of marriage is not the way. Fornication, homosexuality is not the way. Cursing and swearing, it is absolutely not the way. Neglecting so great our salvation, it is not the way. Fighting and feuding and causing discord among their brethren. Brothers and sisters, I tell you, that is not the way. The Bible tells me that Jesus Christ is the way. Amen? In the book of John chapter 14, verse 6, the Bible says, I am the... No man comes to the Father, finish it up, except through me. So I want us all to take a look at our lesson today. Very, very simple lesson today. Something that I believe that we can all walk out of here with a little bit more knowledge of. And understanding and knowing that Jesus is the way. So let me remind you today. I'm going to start out like I did last Sunday. No matter what you may be going through. No matter how high that mountain may seem. No matter how thick those doors may be. No matter how many bars may be across it, and you don't think you can get through it or you can get to it, I want you to know today that God will carry you through it. Amen? Because Jesus himself, he is the way. So I want us, as we take a look at our lesson today, understand and know that Jesus is indeed the way. Friends, that's a promise that Jesus himself gives you and me. He is the way to everything good, isn't he? If we go through Jesus Christ, we go through the Son of God, I can assure you that it will lead to good things. He is the way to all and everything that we need to live a fulfilling life. A life that has purpose. A life that Jesus Christ himself would be very, very proud of. But it's all contingent on whether we're putting Jesus first and foremost in our lives. In the book of Matthew, chapter 6, down in verse 33, what does the Bible say? It says, seek ye the kingdom of God and his... And all of these things shall be added unto you. So once again, folks, understand this, that Jesus Christ is the way. So the first point that I want us to examine this morning, as we talk about Jesus being the way. Now this you may think is a little bit basic or a little bit elementary, but I'm convinced that we need to be reminded. And not only for ourselves, and if we're already a Christian, then perhaps we can take this information that we're learning today, or that we're being reminded of today, and take it out to our families. Does that make any sense? perhaps to our co-workers, perhaps to our neighbors, etc. But here's your first point today that I want us to consider. As we talk about Jesus is the way, here it is. Jesus is the way unto salvation. Do you agree with me before we go any further? There is no other way. You know what? Just remember that. It is Jesus and it's His way to get to salvation. Church attendance in its own is not the way to salvation. Do you understand that? Reading your Bible every single day will not get you to heaven. Praying without ceasing will not get you to heaven if you are not doing it from your what? Heart. If we are not putting our soul in that situation. Folks, we've got to understand that if we neglect so great our salvation, we will reap what we have what? Sown. So understand that. Jesus is the way unto salvation. I feel very confident you have heard many, 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 many biblical truths many times in regarding to Jesus being the way unto salvation. I'm reminded of a passage of Scripture found in the book of Acts. Are you already there? Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12, with brother, somebody brought to us a while ago. Jerry brought that to us a while ago. Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Everybody found it? Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you, what? Whole and complete. Is that what the Bible is saying? All right. Go with me to 11. This is the stone, watch this, which was rejected by you builders, which has now become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we can be saved. So I believe if you, and I'm convinced that if you truly believe the Bible, you believe what we're seeing here, the inspired word of Almighty God, you know, Chris, there is no other way to heaven, is it? Period. It's not through me, it's not through Courtney, it's not through the Johnsons, it's not through Teresa. It is your obedience, your faithful obedience unto God, isn't it? That is the only way that Chris, Dana, and myself, and Eric can get to heaven. Are we in agreement or not? So we've got to watch that and make sure that we're doing what God's calling us to do. Right back again to John 14, 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Reminds me of what the Bible tells us over in 1 John. In the book of 1 John chapter 1, down in verse 7, the Bible says, but, give me the next word. Did you notice that word ill? That's a contingency, isn't it? But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, does what? Cleanses us. Get excited on the rest of it. From, what do you say? From all of our sin. That means that we've been swept clean, haven't we? That means our sins have been wiped away. That means they will not be held against us. But what is the condition? What is the contingency? Is that we are walking in the light as He is in the light. Well, that means, Heather, recognizing who my Jesus is. That means recognizing and knowing, brothers and sisters, who I am to go through. And it is Jesus Christ. The blood of who? The Bible talks about the blood of Jesus. It is the blood of Christ that we are cleansed for the remission of our sins. It is by His blood that redemption is afforded to us. Let's go over to the book of Romans. Book of Romans, and we'll head to chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 8 through 11. All found? All right, here we go. Romans 5, 8 through 11. The Bible says, but God demonstrated His own love toward us that while we were yet sinners, what happened? What happened? All right, so that alone tells us that Jesus is the way because He gave His what? He gave His life for you and for me. Now go with me to number 9. Much more then, having now been, give me the word, justified. Because I wash in the blood of the Lamb, it is now, listen, and Larry talked about this before as well, it's justified, never sinned. Amen? Because I'm washing in His blood, it's justified, never sinned. Darlene, I'm being found spotless in the sight of God when we do that. Yes or no? We are justified by whose blood? We're on verse 9. Much more than having now been justified by, give it to me, His blood. Who's the His? Jesus Christ. Very good. We shall be saved from wrath through, the Bible says, Him. Y'all ready for 10? Three of you are ready for 10? What about everybody else? I have no problem waiting. I ate really good back there. A donut, two of those lemon things. So you'll go with me? We'll get out. If you don't, well, I'll just delay. Everybody ready for verse 10? That's better. For, now watch this, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more than having now been reconciled, we shall be saved by, give it to me, his life. That means, Brother Johnson, that means it's Jesus' life. It belongs to him, amen? It's nothing that you can do. It's all because of what he did, amen? It's because of the goodness of God. It's because of the great sacrifice that Jesus made. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received the reconciliation. We have now been reconciled by the blood. We've been balanced, haven't we? No, we're not elevated to the level of Jesus. We're not elevated to the level of God, but we've now been reconciled. We're all right in God's eyes. Amen? Only those who are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Why am I saying that? Because it's by the blood that you and I, meeting him in baptism, washing in his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Let's be sure that we forget not John chapter 10 down in verse 9. Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Watch this. And will go in and out. And he's going to find, what's the Bible say? He's going to find pasture. That word's also found, I think, over in Psalm 23 as well, isn't it? So we're going to find peace. We're going to find contentment. We're going to find happiness. We're going to find that hope beyond the grave. But we're only going to find it in Jesus Christ. Do you recall what Matthew 1:21 says? In the book of Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible says that she will bring forth a son. You're going to call his name. What's he going to do? So let's be certain that we understand what we must do to get into Jesus. We've looked at passages of Scripture that clearly shows us that Jesus is the way unto salvation. So what is it that needs to take place? How can I be certain that I'm in Jesus? And how can I be certain that Jesus is in me? Well, folks, these are some passages you ought to be very aware of. In the book of Romans, chapter 10, down in verse 17, the Bible says, so faith cometh by, and hearing by the... So do you understand why it's so important for us to gather together and hear the Word of God being proclaimed? Now do you understand why it's so important that instead of sitting home with your feet up on top of your desk, that's okay to have your feet on your desk, but you need to have a Bible in your lap, amen? Not just for good balance, but for spiritual balance, to make sure that we are studying and rightly dividing the Word of truth. That's what Paul told Timothy to do. He said, you study to show thyself approved. Why? Because the world gets rough. It's nasty out there beyond those double doors. You guys agree with that? It's rough. This is not an easy life. And for these preachers standing up here behind the pulpit saying, oh, life is just perfect, and once you become a Christian, everything is fine, they are lying through their teeth. That's when the challenge comes, brothers and sisters, when we walk out of that door. You know why? Because the devil is ticked off right now. He don't like it when we submit to God. He don't want us to be a follower of Jesus Christ. He wants us to believe that there are other ways unto heaven or other ways unto happiness. You don't really need Jesus. He died many, many years ago. No, he didn't. He might have been put to death, but he came back and he was buried in the borrowed tomb for Joseph of Arimathea. On that third day, my Jesus rose again and now sits at the right hand of the Father. And he's the very one that's going to plead my case before God. Amen? So it's Jesus Christ himself that we are to hold on to. We ought to remember and got to remember and must remember that it is Jesus Christ. He is the way, not us. He's the way. That's why we've got to be hearing. Not only do we, or are we commanded to hear his word, but the Bible tells us over and over that we are to believe. I know you're thinking, well, Jerry may be closing his lesson out because he does that at the end of every lesson. I just want to reiterate to you the importance of these first principles, these basic steps in becoming a Christian, because there's some in the house today that's not Christian. You get what I'm saying? There's some today that have become Christians, but maybe, just maybe, they forgot first principles, and we need to go back and revisit that. So, yes, we hear God's word, but then we are to believe. Does everybody believe in that? What about on that side toward the back? Y'all believe in that? Very good. So the Bible says that very, very clearly. Mark 16, 15 and 16. And he said to them, go into all the world and do what? To who? He who believes and is baptized, the Bible says, they shall be what? But he who believes not, the Bible says, they shall be what? Condemned. Very good. Luke 13, 3 and 5 talks to Brother Larry about you and me. Talks about how we better make sure that in our life with Christ, when we make that confession, that we have the mindset, guys and girls, of repenting of our sins. Amen? Change the way we're living Can't live that same old fleshly desire. Can't live the same old way that Jerry Ladd was living. I've got to live for what God says. Luke 13:3, and then also a couple of verses later, the Bible says, I tell you nay. One translation says, I tell you no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise. That word perish means separation from God. That means die spiritually away from Jesus Christ. We're also told in and by the Word of God that we are to physically, publicly confess our belief in Jesus Christ. In the book of Matthew chapter 10, down in verse 32 and 33, the Bible tells us, if you confess me before men, I'll be faithful and just to confess you before my Father which is in heaven. The very next verse says, but if you deny me before men, what will I do? Thank you, Dana. I will deny you before my Father in heaven. Now, let me be very clear. That's not just talking about verbal utterance. Amen? We deny Christ when we deny living for Him, when we reject Him. We deny Christ when we go against His will. We deny Christ when we're reading convicted by His Word, but yet we do something different. We are denying Jesus. If you deny me, I don't want to pull that too far out of context, so I'll put it back. But if you deny me, I'm going to deny you. If you reject me, I'm going to reject you. Is that what the Bible is saying? Is everybody in agreement? So I want to publicly confess, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that He was sent from the beauty and comfort and splendor of heaven to save a worm like me. That's exactly what I believe. I believe that He was put to death in a horrible way. I believe that He was buried in that tomb. I believe 3 days later He rose from the dead. Do you agree with that? And now I believe, Darlene, that He ascended up on high. And I know for a fact He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And I know, according to Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed once for man to die. But after this, here comes the judgment. Amen? I want to be prepared for that, and I want you to be as well. We're all aware of the command of baptism. Even though we live in a world today, in a religious world, where some of our religious friends, they pervert what the Scripture says about baptism. There are people that say, well, it's not really necessary. There are some people that practice pouring. There are some that practice sprinkling. I have never seen that in the Bible that I've read from Genesis to Revelation. Not one time have I read that. But what I can tell you is that every single act of conversion from Matthew to Revelation, every single act of conversion had baptism associated with it. Amen? Name me one that didn't. You can't. So what the Bible tells us in the book of Acts chapter 2 verse 38, Peter preaching that first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost, he preached a pretty good sermon that day because many of the individuals were pricked in their hearts and they said, you know what? We need to make some changes. He said, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? Do you remember what he said? And he said to them, let every one of you, did you notice the word everyone? Did everybody notice that word? Let every one of you do what? And then what? Very good. Let every one of you repent and be right there. Very good. So now, the first thing that they heard, they had to hear it to do this part, right? Then they're having to believe it. Is that it? They believe it? Now he tells him to do what? What did he say, Ashley? Repent. That's right. And then he says, when you repent, you will be baptized. Give me the reason. Y'all not looking at Acts 2:38. All right. There we go. For the remission of your sins. And then what happens? Go. You shall receive, though you're missing the main word. The gift of the Holy Spirit. You can't earn that. Popularity won't get you that. Big checking account won't get you that. Nicest car and nicest house won't get you that. These nice shoes won't get you that. These Dollar General store socks won't get you that. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's repenting of my sins, and it is putting Jesus first and foremost in our lives and doing what He's calling me to do. It is a gift, Jared, that He gives me when I meet Him in baptism. Does that make sense? Can't earn it. Popularity won't get it to me, Teresa. It's a gift from God. The gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's just that one passage, though. Well, maybe we need to visit 1 Peter 3:21, Harvey. Maybe we need to do that, buddy. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 3:21, there is also an antitype which now saves us. Next two words. Namely, baptism. Is that what the Bible says? Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Being baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. Everybody with me or not? All right. So baptism, that is the way. That is one of the ways we get into Jesus Christ, or part of the way. We are also commanded to remain faithful. To remain faithful. to remain faithful unto death, according to Revelation chapter 2 and in verse 10. When the Bible talks about being faithful, faithful in what? I'm convinced the Bible says to be faithful in my studies of His Word. Yes or no? Paul told Timothy that over in 2 Timothy 2:15. Peter talked about it as well, but to grow in our grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Him be the glory both now and forever. So we're told by 1 Peter. We're also told by Paul telling Timothy. We're also shown in the Scripture where all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for reproof, for doctrine, etc., etc. So all of these promises that we have, you and I today, without a doubt, without a shadow of a doubt, you and I should be faithful in study. Yes or no? Luke 18:1 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Anybody heard of that before? And then Luke 18:1, man ought always to pray and not lose. Good job, Jerry. Not lose heart. So when the Bible talks about being faithful unto death, it means continue faithful in your study so you can continue to grow. Yes. Continue in your prayer life because you owe it to me and I owe it to you that we pray for one another and pray for the church as a whole. Yes or no? And then we need to be faithful in our assembly. Let me be very clear. Not faithful in our assembly when things are going bad. Not faithful in our assembly when, you know, things are difficult and our mama got sick or my brother got sick or my dad's about to die or got this situation. But I'm talking about, the Bible's talking about being faithful in season and out of season. Amen. Being faithful to God all of the time. Assembling with the saints. Here's what I'll never understand. Never will I understand it. I don't understand why some people today, do not count it a joy to be able to come together and worship God. When a person feels like they have to go to church, I'm telling you, there's been a problem in their birthing, hasn't it, when they become a Christian. There is a problem in their birthing process. I don't know, maybe it was a miscarriage. I have no idea. But I'm telling you that a person who loves God, a person who loves Jesus Christ, a person who loves the Bible, is not going to have to be begged and pleaded with to come to the church. Does that make sense? You shouldn't have to be giving people flowers and cards and candy and all these different things and 55 letters and all this different stuff to get somebody to come to the worship service of the Lord to save their own soul. If we love Jesus Christ and we want to go to heaven, you will not have to be begged and pleaded with to be here. So be faithful in our assembly. But we have it. I've got it in my own family. Y'all have witnessed it. You've got them in your own family as well. There are people that will darken the doorway when they've got problems upon them and the shadows of death is upon them. But just like in my own family, things have gotten a lot better and you see what's going on with that. Where is he? Where are they? If you're watching by Facebook, tough stuff. That's the way it goes. Got it with my own family. Hope you're offended. The Lord's Supper. Shouldn't we be faithful in partaking the Lord's Supper? In the book of Acts chapter 20, verse 7, the Bible says upon the first day of the week. So quit looking lightly. I'm not saying you are, but if you are, fix it. We've got to stop looking lightly upon the Lord's Supper. And you know what? You know who I'm preaching to today? It's me. Because I've told Larry and I've told other people here, pray for me about that. Because I'm pitiful when it comes to that. But I'm getting a little bit better. But during the Lord's Supper, so many times I sit right here or that side, whichever side I take a notion to go to. And during the Lord's Supper, Brother Johnson, I'm not proud of this, but during the Lord's Supper, I find myself, you know, looking through the Bible and trying to get my lesson. Okay, how am I going to open it? I want to make sure this goes. I hope this will stick. And, you know, and I'm so concerned about the lesson that I have totally mentally omitted what I was doing. I just went through the robotic part. Anybody else ever been there? Have you thought about your grocery list? I wonder how long Jerry's going to preach today. I hope he'll shut his pie hole so we can go get some pie. And that's supposed to be funny. Y'all stop. But the reality is, shouldn't we be, seriously speaking, concentrating on the Lord's Supper? Yes or no? Encouraging each other and evangelizing. We've got to be faithful, Brother Larry, in our evangelism. Amen. The Bible says in Matthew 28:18-20, go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Finish it up. Very good. Even to the end of time. And so we've got that situation. Now, and certainly we are to bear one another's burdens. We are indeed our brothers. Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Jesus tells us to bear one another's burdens. I'm not going to throw a bunch of stuff out because there's a whole lot of people that work diligently in this congregation. I think about Chris and Courtney. You know, not too long ago, we had someone on Elkins. I won't throw any names out so nobody gets this, but I know for a fact that he went over there and took stuff. I know right over here on Annex, I know Chris and Courtney shows up. I know that during when I had COVID and Paula was so sick, I get a phone call from Courtney and Chris saying, hey, what can we bring you? What do you need? We'll put it on the porch and we'll go. I know we was trying to get our COVID shots and we couldn't seem to get it. I know of a young lady who said, hey, I got a connection. Don't tell anyone. Courtney's the one that told me. And I said, don't. I'm just but Courtney's the one who hooked us up with that. So, and then there's been a plethora of people, a lot of other people who has came to the rescue for the Ladd family. And I hope that we've kind of come to the rescue for you as well. But I say all that to say this, that's what it's about. Amen. That's what it's about, loving each other, getting each other through it. Bobby, I remember the text that I received from you and Teresa. And it's just, I mean, the list is endless. Everybody participates, and I think that's an awesome thing. But we are to bear one another's burdens, yes or no? Jesus Christ is the way unto salvation, and I am so grateful that he tells us in his word how we are to become and remain a Christian. The second point, and this lesson is yours. See, last week I gave you four, and the week before I gave you seven, and I got a letter saying you will be terminated if that ever happens again. So I went back to six. I didn't violate that. So anyway, I'm just kidding. But I'm going to give you this point, then I'm going to let you get out. Is that fair? Okay. Now, this point has 72 passages. All right, so the second point that I want to examine is this. Jesus is the way. Now, this is a long opening on this. Ready? Jesus is the way unto true life. I don't even know if you agree with that. All right, Jesus is the way to a true life, a life that matters, a life that counts, and a life that has meaning. Okay, I'm going to say that one more time. Jesus is the way unto true life, a life that matters, because if you're not a Christian, well, good luck. A life that counts, and a life that has meaning. Since I became a Christian, my life has true meaning. And I have a purpose now. Yeah, I had a purpose before, working at the funeral home, trying to help families and do what I can to make their worst day of their life a little bit better. And that's nice that I'm able to do that. It gives me a little bit of fulfillment. But I have never been fulfilled. I have never been happy until I found Jesus Christ. Amen? And guess what? He wasn't hiding from me. I was ignoring him. See, people say, well, you got to find Jesus. He's right here. He stands at the door and knocks. But who's got to open the door? We do. Right, Chris? We got to open the door. So I wanted you to make sure that Jesus is the way unto that true life. Jesus is the way of life. Because we are saved by his grace. Amen? Somebody arguing with that? Okay. So, because you already talked to the Bible. Ephesians 2:1, the Bible says, and watch this, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. You and I both were dead in sin, wasn't we? But he brought us back. Folks, we ought to be the most thankful people because of the grace of God. It is by God's grace that we even have the opportunity at salvation. I'm thankful that we are justified by him, justified in Jesus Christ, making Jesus the only true and way unto heaven. I think about Romans chapter 5, verse 1, having been justified by faith, we have peace. Oh, how many of us like that word, peace? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, Jesus is the way, brothers and sisters, to that eternal life. Jesus is the way, for there is no other. In Ephesians chapter 2, down in verse 13, the scripture says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near. You've been brought back together. You've been brought to Jesus Christ by the blood of Jesus Christ. Did you see that? So that's why we have to be in Christ to have a life of purpose. So I hope and pray that you understand that away from the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. There is no heaven waiting on you, only the horrors and the agony of hell if you're not with Jesus. Are we in agreement? Jesus is the way. And knowing that Jesus is the way and the truth, you and I should make it our chief desire. Jesus Christ, seriously, he's got to be first. He's got to be foremost and first in everything. It's got to be our chief desire to follow him closely. As the old song goes, where he leads, anybody remember that? Thank you, Heather. That's true. Where he leads, I will follow. I appreciate what Isaiah said over in Isaiah chapter 30, down in verse 21. your ear shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or you turn to the left, we got to make sure that Jesus is in it. Amen? So what does that tell us, Courtney? That tells us that Jesus is the way. Say it with me again. Jesus is the way. 1 Peter chapter 2, down in verse 21. For to this you were called because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. I'll give you a couple more scriptures and I'll let you get out of here. All right. If you will, go with me to the book of Psalm. Psalm chapter 4. I want to share something with you real quick. It won't take long. Psalm chapter 4, verse 8. All found? I will both lie down in peace and sleep. That enough right there. In Jesus, in Christ, in God, that's what I get. I can finally pillow my head without worry. Amen? Because the worries of the world, oh, they can be heavy. But as long as I've got God, as long as I've got Christ, as long as I'm in Him, even if death comes today for me, oh, well, what has that done? That just put me to my reward. Amen. I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in what? Mm-hmm. Go hit chapter 5, verse 8. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face. Who's our enemy today? Mm-hmm. Who's the biggest enemy we have today? Mm-hmm. So do we need help with that? Absolutely. Go with me to Psalm 95. Psalm 95, 6 and 7, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, are you noticing the preacher putting his emphasis on the word His? Because it ain't you, good grammar here, it ain't me, it's all about God, amen? So it is in Christ. In Jesus Christ, Jesus is the way. Not my idea, not Rhoda's ideas, not Ethan's idea, but it's Jesus' way. Dana, do you and Eric agree with that? All right, it is Jesus. It's His way, or it's no way. Psalm 119, verse 133. Direct my steps by your word, and let how much iniquity? Iniquity have dominion over me. Please, God, don't let sin control me. Please, God, give me the strength to overcome. Please, God, keep me on the right track because I know that your Son, Jesus Christ, He is the way into heaven. He is the way into salvation. Jesus is the way. He is the new and living way. I thought I would add that because of these quacks that we see on television sometimes talks about, oh, well, you can do this. Go the new and living way. Jesus is the new and living way. Amen. It is Jesus. He's the new and living way, brothers and sisters, according to Hebrews 10:19. Jesus is the way through suffering. He is the way to the Father, according to Ephesians 2:18. Jesus Christ Himself is the way. He is the way to hope and peace, according to Philippians chapter 4 through 9. Jesus is the way to true friendship. We've all had people in our lives that we thought were our friends, and then we found out that under difficulties and sometimes in bad situations that they wasn't really your friend. Anybody ever been there? Most of us have. Jesus Christ will never be like Jesus Christ is that friend. In John 15:14, the Bible gives us that assurance that if you obey my commandments, we're friends. You get that? You are my friends if you do what I command you to do. That's what Jesus says. And I fully believe that. So, oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Everybody with me on that? So I got to ask this as we close. Is Jesus Christ today your friend? Is Jesus Christ the one that you're holding to? Are you holding the nail-scarred hands of Jesus Christ? Letting Him and allowing Jesus to have control of your life, allowing Jesus to lead you to the beautiful place called heaven that's prepared for His people, prepared for prepared people? Or are you rejecting those nail-scarred hands? Are you pushing Jesus Christ off in your life? Are you holding on to the things of the world and the ruler of the world, which is the devil himself? Matthew 25, verse 46, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous, the Christian, the follower into everlasting life. You choose you this day. You're going to serve. But for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen? Because I know that Jesus is the way. Today, I wanted to close, make sure that I say these last two. We have an assurance in the Bible. In the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, the Bible says, it is appointed once for men to die. After this, say it, the judgment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, down in verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for what we've done, whether good or bad. So you see, popularity plays no role in this. A big house plays no role in this. A big checking account, savings account plays no role in this. Higher education plays no role in this. Nothing outside of the Bible and outside of Jesus Christ plays a role in this. Salvation is only found in Jesus Christ. Amen? So say this with me one more time. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. Today, if you're not a Christian, I've already went over on how to become one and the importance of remaining one. Maybe today you are a Christian, but you've walked away from Jesus Christ. You've allowed the things of the world to dictate you, to manipulate you, and to pull you from that fold of safety. I'm telling you today, today is the day that you kick Satan right in the face. Amen? You kick him in the face. You get him out of your life. You make sure you tell Satan, I have no room in my house for you. I have no room in my heart for you. My soul don't want to be around you. Get back, Jack. Get out of my life. Put Jesus Christ in your life. And you hold on to those nail-scarred hands of Jesus every single minute, every single day. And he'll lead you to that place called heaven. If you have a need, and you need it all, you're welcome to come right now.